welcome to the first podcast of the new year, 2021. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just over. I'm so glad I get to give the double middle finger to 2020. In this episode, it's going to be a hodgepodge of things, my random thoughts as we enter into a new year, things I would have never thought I would ever have to do. I also am still into, just as much as I have always been, Star Trek and anything Star Trek related, not so much space related in this episode, but I'll probably get back more into that as the year goes on. I'm just excited about the challenges ahead, everything we get to look forward to, and we've made it across this way. I'm going to lean more into the book about the stand and just talk about my other random thoughts, what I'm eating, what I'm drinking, what I'm watching. I'm trying to kind of encapsulate or focus back on my Twitter handle and utilizing that particular platform to its most positive means, and also looking into redoing, and I guess I'll announce that, redoing one of my scripts, as well as finalizing a possible newer script. Survival Code, that's been on my mind most recently, and I think it has the potential to be a limited series. And I hope you enjoy this episode, and again, thank you for listening. In addition to watching every cartoon, did I watch Charlie Brown Christmas? Yes, I think I did. And The Grinch That Stole Christmas this past year. I've had also the opportunity to listen to or to create or look at other shows. I thought Soul was cool. I thought Wonder Woman was cool. I'm still, the verdict, you know what? I still need to order that. The book, the new movie, Midnight Sky with George Clooney, also dropped around within the last week or so. And I don't think I fully liked the movie because I think I knew that there was a book that it was based off of. And I'm wondering if the book is a lot better. But in addition to watching a whole bunch of things, I've actually been really reflective, and I came up with this segment or part of the podcast, Never Have I Ever. It's a kid's game, kind of a conversation, that you play. It's either a drinking game or a teenage kissing game, but there is so many parts or so many things that I've reflected on that I never thought I would. What happened to me, for example, 2020 ended. Thank you. And I didn't end with it. I sold properties that I had bought when I first, the beginning of my career. I never thought I would actually ever have to leave North Carolina, but I'm glad I did. I did not think I would have money, but nowhere to go because you can't go anywhere. Everything's closed and it's kind of dangerous to travel for long distances if you have to stop at filling stations or to pee because of the Rona. I never thought that I would be close to 3,000 downloads on a podcast that I started for self-entertainment, and it has actually sustained me, I honestly think, for the past year. I would have never thought that I would live to see a virus take us out. There are over 300, there are many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that died from a virus that's stalking us. I never thought that I would have to go with a mask anywhere, even in my current apartment building. I wish I knew about this building back when I first came and moved to Tennessee in 2015. I think it would have been so much fun being here. I would have had a sense of community and belonging more so back then, and it would have made my transition so much more easier. I think that would have contributed to my means of being able to easily transition to the current job that I have now. But I think I needed the experience of another 4 years to be able to accept and get to where I needed to be this year. I never thought I would be safe. And this is the first place I've lived where I actually feel safe. I'm still meeting people and developing friendships and hopefully developing a new dynamic to previous friendships with family, with friends that I met 40 years ago now. It's amazing. I'm actually a brand, y'all. That is tripping me out. And I'm always building upon it. And that's what I think it's all about, discovering who you are, what you are, and building upon it and just doing what you can to become a better person and to help other people be better also.
Mental. More than 120 years after it happened, we finally found the source of the burn. All those theories, all those what-ifs. It wasn't an attack on the Federation at all. We still have so many questions and we need answers, but right now, the priority has to be getting back onto Discovery. It's the only way we can protect the Federation. The only way we have any hope of saving our captain. And you, Adira. Time is not on our side, but with so much at stake, failure is not an option. Whatever it takes, we will find a way. We have to.
So I have been binge watching the Hoarders since before Christmas. And if you ever want to watch any type of show that will encourage you to do right, Hoarders is that show. I think I'm up to the 7th season now, and I've been rolling my eyes so hard that now my eye hurt. Literally, my eyes hurt. You get up, I vacuum, I clean, I will dust, and I will throw out stuff. Tomorrow, I'm actually happy that it's my recycling day. I'm going out, I'm taking bottles and packaging out, and it's going into the recycling bin because it can't stay at my house any longer. Also, I get the paper every single day in addition to the Sunday New York Times. All that stuff is going where it needs to go, in the recycling. Just saying. But I say all that to say is one of my greatest joys in life, besides playing video games now, is watching Star Trek. The Star Trek logs this week, I think it was actually just absolutely just as good as when Burnham or Sonequa Green did her post as the alternate universe Michael Burnham. It was intense, very thought-provoking. This week's, she posted about her thoughts about the burn. It sounds like she seems relieved that the burn didn't start with the Federation, because she's caping for the Federation. And it still burns me up that we all have this single black person in every that will just cape for us, but nobody will cape for them. But this is a little bit different. Granted, her entire crew of the Discovery followed her to the 32nd century, or followed her to the future for her. And it's apparent that she doesn't have all the responsibility as she thought. She has people that will support her and that are willing to support her. But before I get to just recapping and my thoughts on this week's episode of Star Trek, what was this? Did I actually absolutely forget to note what this episode is called? I don't think so. I think I actually put it in the notes. It's called There Is a Tide. But I didn't post a whole bunch of details because I've discovered that the Instagram post, as well as the show's blog and even Star Trek Online, there wasn't a whole bunch about the previous week's episode. And I wasn't really all that impressed with Saru as the captain and making the difficult decisions, etc. And he was actually the character posted on Star Trek logs last week, and it was a real snooze fest, and I didn't want to make that a part of my podcast. We can have other things that can put us to sleep. I'm just saying. I wasn't even impressed with the ships of Star Trek last week, but I'm glad I did this previous week, took a look at that, because it did lead me to Porta Temporis by ST Legacy, the beautiful painting or rendition. A lot of the ships that I'm finding that they're posting on ships of Star Trek, and also a part of DeviantArt, you can actually... With tokens or whatever, you can actually fly those ships in on Star Trek Online, the game. I haven't gotten so far with that I've been able to take advantage of any of those, because I don't have the attention span to play it for that long. I'm just trying to get in enough playing time to be able to post on my Twitch channel the Legends of Zelda. I haven't even booted up my Xbox One in a minute to even play Star Trek Online. So there you go. I have several other games. I have a Star Wars game that I haven't played because I can't figure out how to get past or get out of to get on the ship to get to the next level. I just need my nephew to help a sister out. I'll just put it that way. Also, but just getting back to Star Trek, there wasn't a lot in the Star Trek world that I was completely or at all impressed with. And I was distracted by a lot of stuff, like my day job. But this week's episode 12, There Is a Tide, was just packed full of action. There's this green chick, or Syrah. She gonna need to go. She and her little thugged out crew is getting on my damn nerves. I think the Andorians are gonna need to reassert themselves, because this heifer, she's getting on my nerves. Can't trust her. She's worse than any Romulan or Cardassian that I've ever seen in any Star Trek series. I think the character, Sonequa Green's character, Burnham, is just so expressive. And even with the eyeliner, they're going to need to do that, because on High Def TV, the eyeliner on Book, David, a jealous character Booker, is kind of distracting. But I also want to see more of their growing relationship, how she almost had to die to tell him he loved her. Typical female. But anyways... I need to see more positive black imagery of love and relationships in the 32nd century, because it gives us here hope in the 21st century. And also, I think this episode is a great build up, because I think we are only one episode away from the ending before they cut to season 4, which is still in production in Canada as we speak. And the robots, DOT-23, is actually going to be a part of that. I'm absolutely waiting for, I'm going to need to find this DOT-23 robot, because it really, really is quite cute. Add it to my Star Trek collection, along with my USS Corella and my Defiant, and a bunch of my phaser and my badges. I'm just excited about the opportunity to add to my collectibles, Star Trek collectibles. And I actually have not watched the third episode of The Stand, the limited series, because I've been so disappointed with this particular TV series. They added a whole bunch of details that they didn't need to add for the book. For those of us, my cousin Viva has told me that this particular version of The Stand is not for us, meaning diehard Stephen King fans that basically have read most of all his books, she more than I. But definitely for people that have actually read his books and The Stand, which now I'm on my third time reading it, this book, this miniseries is not for us. I think that they've done the book a disservice by what they have allowed themselves to do. If they had just updated one storyline to the 21st century, it would have been relatively good and easy to follow. But this nonsense that's on TV now is absolute garbage. It really is. If I talk about it anymore with my cousin, it's probably going to be not because we're going to be able to continue to watch all, what is 13 or 15 episodes. It's because we're going to just discuss try to follow one of the lines of the book. What would have made this even more interesting if they had just followed. And it would have made more sense to actually serialize the characters, follow the development of me, even following the development of the characters from pre-flu hit until the death of the world, and then when they get to the free zone or Las Vegas. That would have made more sense. And they could have updated it, changed the races, and changed some of the dynamics around. But they could have still followed the integrity of the original storyline of the book, and it would still had the Hollywood flair that they wanted. They didn't have to add any of this because the garbage that they added in this that miniseries was ridiculous. I just am now 700 pages into the book, 700 and some odd change to go because I got the uncut version. And we're seeing a little bit more details into how the Harold Lauder is more warped, how Nadine is leaning into her, the character Nadine is leaning into her dedication to being the whore of the adversary. The adversary is Randall Flagg in this case. It's not a true tale or testament of good versus evil, but man versus darkness, you know, in a post-infectious apocalyptic world. Yes, it does cut too close to the what we're all going through now, but it's very interesting that this was written over almost 30 years ago, but it's so applicable to the nonsense that is 2020. It also, the whole post-infectious apocalypse at the Free Zone Committee doing some next world or old world things of sending spies to Vegas to spy on what's going on the adversary side, to do some preemptive warning about the attack that surely he is planning, because it seems like darkness or evil wants everyone to be under the dominion of evil. But it also brings up the fact that why is the only black person in the whole damn book? 108-year-old black lady. Why does she have to take on the shoulders of the world to set things right? And why are only the people in leadership, old white codgers from Texas and a skinny white girl from Maine? Why are we so interested in some fat, warped kid, in the form of Harold Lauder? Is he those kids, people that are Trumplicans that are living in on the edge that we should be worried about because they exemplify white fragility? That is what blows my mind. So there you go. I think the book itself it lends itself to discussions like that. And I don't think the miniseries captures that depth at all. It is glorification of warpness and evil, and it takes so much away from the book. It's ridiculous. But It's already post-production. I don't think CBS is going to pull it because I'm sure it's been on the schedule for a minute. But it's just so tone deaf. The whole storyline and how they treated the infection and the governmental lack of handling it. They just skipped all over all of that just to get eyes on it. Got us all excited, and then it was such a big letdown. But the book is not a letdown, and as always, being a massive book hoarder, reader, whatever you want to call me, I tell you, you need to just read the book because, again, the miniseries, garbage. So when you talk a lot, when it gets to the end of the conversation, you wait, look up, and then it's, the conversation is over. And when you talk to yourself on your podcast, it's even more glaring when the conversation is over. But that's basically it. I'm glad I had the opportunity to share all of the things Star Trek with you guys. My reflections for a new year, I'll probably continue sharing with you as soon as I figure out how to use it, my vision board, about what my goals are and what I, for 2021. Can't leave that shit show of a year and not have grandiose, not really grandiose delusions, because they really aren't. They basically are dreams for a better tomorrow for myself. I'm looking forward to being able to travel and talk to my friends freely. I'm looking forward to creating even better content. If you are having issues with the anxiety coming out of the year that we just had, I would suggest going to Doctor On Demand. There's a suicide prevention hotline. There's just a lot at our Headspace. It's the other one I wanted to mention. There's just so many things at our disposal that you don't have to suffer alone. And there are weirdos like me that want to get to know you. The only stranger is the person I haven't said hello to. I'm always just astonished about how interesting the world is and how bright everything is and just how beautiful this red state of mine is. I'm going to be leaning more into my handle, TV, Food and Wine Girl, as well as the Tennessee Fro of it all. And I hope you will join me on this trip, because I think it's going to be a wild one. If there are people that don't believe in you and they just need to shut the hell up, they need a bag of gummy penises. So navigate to Ship a Bag of Dicks and use my promo code TimFroGotJokes to get a percentage off of your shipment and your overall order. Some people just need a glitter bomb. And again, a 6-foot gummy penis, or not a 6-foot, because they're not that big, I don't think, but at least a 6 to 12 inch dark chocolate gummy penis will shut that mug up. And it's sent anonymously, so when the glitter bomb blows up in their face, or they get that 6 to 9 inch chocolate penis, it will definitely make a believer out of them. And again, I hope you have enjoyed this episode, and I have conveyed how much I've enjoyed creating it. And you guys, again, Happy New Year to everyone that has listened to me and has gotten me to my 200th episode of this particular podcast. I am completely tickled. And thank you for tuning in, and I hope that you will listen again soon. Goodbye.